From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. On Sunday afternoon, I received a text on my phone saying, Lyft here, rideshare is at risk of shutting down next week in California. Learn more. And it pointed to a website created by Lyft that claimed to give riders, quote, the facts on Proposition 22, that rideshare corporations like Lyft and Uber are directly lobbying their customers to influence a ballot measure is an indication of the desperation they feel. After the state legislature passed a bill last year requiring that drivers working for these wealthy corporations ought to be treated as employees and not contract workers, the industry fought tooth and nail against it. Prop 22 on this November's ballot seeks to overturn the state law AB 5. My guest is Nicole Moore. She's a part-time Lyft driver and a member of the Leadership Organizing Committee of the group Rideshare Drivers United. Welcome to the program, Nicole.
Thank you, Sonali.
So first, tell me about AB 5. We had covered it on our program, but just as a refresher, what was this hard-won victory for contract workers in California?
Well, contract workers, as people know, are a way that anybody who's employing a contract worker doesn't pay taxes, doesn't have to adhere to any of the basic labor laws that we have in our country. But on the other hand, they have, independent contractors can set their own rates and those kinds of things. But what's happened over the last decade or so is that more and more independent contractors are being classified that way, even when they really are employees of an industry or company. And it makes it so that the industry does not have to pay wages and benefits to the level of basic labor law. So here in California, when AB 5 passed, I mean, basically what it does is it says it employs the ABC test of employment that basically says if you don't have control, if you're carefully monitored, if you also are doing the primary work of a particular company, you are not an independent contractor. So, and you are eligible for all the protections of basic labor law. So that's what happened back last fall. And it was a huge victory for many, many industries because, so many people are unprotected without a safety net, even though they're doing the work of a particular industry. For us in app deployed work, such as driving and delivery work, we've seen our wages plummet below anything that is livable over the last 5 years. This was something that drivers and app-based workers have been fighting for because we see that these companies are not holding themselves to any standards. And we need to have jobs that will basically put food on the table and keep a roof over our head. I mean, over the last couple of years, many drivers have become housing insecure, have situations economically become, so this was a huge boon for drivers that we fought for in Rideshare Drivers United. We've been fighting for basic employment rights, for over a year.
And so they challenged the law, AB 5, legally, and a federal judge, I believe a week ago, made a crucial decision that insisted that AB 5 should indeed stand. Tell me about this decision and how significant it is.
Well, the really significant part is that Lyft and Uber have carried on as if there is no AB 5. They said the law didn't apply to them. And so our fight as drivers has been to say, no, absolutely, we need the state of California to enforce this law.
I see. So they didn't actually challenge the law. They just refused to comply with it.
Exactly. So we started the People's Enforcement of AB5, thousands and thousands of us filed wage claims with the Labor Commissioner, showing the stolen wages and the fact that we don't get a penny reimbursed for the expenses. We pay all of the fleet costs of Lyft and Uber, whether it's the car or whatever. And so we made these wage claims to the Labor Commission, to the tune of 5,000 drivers had $1.3 billion worth of claims. And then when COVID hit, tens of thousands of us had to apply for unemployment because our work completely dried up. And all of these put tremendous pressure on the state. And when the Attorney General said, we're going to file a preliminary injunction to force Lyft and Uber to comply with our labor laws in California, that's when the fireworks began. And the court decision last week was, yes, Lyft and Uber, you have to comply with the law, and all of these drivers are actually employees, which means that they are due a base rate of pay. You have to pay into things like workers' comp and unemployment insurance so that these workers have a safety net. You know, the labor law actually is a low bar for companies when they hire employees. It's not like we're, asking for the world. But, at this point, with no reimbursement, often we get less than 50% of the fare. The company gets the rest of it. This is not sustainable. It's not fair. And it's not putting in an honest day work and being able to get an honest day pay.
Then where did Proposition 22 come in? So here's a proposition that Lyft and Uber are now directly promoting to their own customers. They are aggressively lobbying for this, and they're claiming that the companies could simply leave California, that rideshare apps could disappear in California, in just a week or so.
So they have tremendous pressure on them because the judge said you actually have to follow the law. And that happened last week.
And he gave them an ultimatum, right? A date.
Yes, 10 days. It's very important to know that at least at this time, I know that Lyft has appealed it. So we aren't sure what will happen on the 10th day. But what Lyft and Uber are claiming is that they may need to shut down. This is outrageous that these billion-dollar companies think that they have to shut down their business to comply with basic labor law. I mean, we have a corner store here in my neighborhood that employs, 6 or 7 employees. If they weren't able to pay the basic, baseline wages and benefits, they wouldn't have employees, they wouldn't have a viable business. But these billion-dollar companies are saying they can't comply with it. This is a threat. It's a threat that we often see in industries where, workers are organizing and trying to, make a better profession for themselves and pushing the employer to do better for employees. Many, many companies have threatened to leave. We don't know whether it's a bluff or not, but it's definitely chilling for, both passengers and drivers. But I think here in California, Californians have drawn the line. We're saying, that if you're going to be a company, a big billion-dollar company operating in our state, you need to follow basic laws. I mean, if I could tell you the stories of what people's lives have been like who work this work full time, as their money plummets. I mean, within 2 years of a 5-year car loan, your car is valueless. You've put more than 200,000 miles on your car and you don't have any value in your car and it's starting to break down. You have 3 more years in your payments. These are the things that happen when these companies don't follow basic laws, and it's creating poverty in our communities. So as the companies claim, this is the time that we all have to, you know, have gig work and alternative works. This is not the kind of work that is actually helping Californians. We're doing no better than slicing the bumper off of our car and trying to put it in our pocket. We are losing money on many, many of these rides, and it's time for them to pay.
So, Nicole, unfortunately, corporations in recent years have found ways to use California's ballot proposition method to, you know, push all sorts of agendas, because they know that if they can get something on the ballot that favors them and spend endless amounts of money blasting propaganda to voters, they can eke out a win. And it seems as though this is what Uber and Lyft and other corporations are trying to do. They're claiming on Proposition 22 that app-based drivers prefer to be independent contractors by a 4-to-1 margin. They're also saying that there are new benefits for drivers, including an earnings guarantee and health insurance. How important is it for you to counter such claims, and how do you counter the claims? They're saying that drivers themselves want to be classified as independent contractors rather than employees.
Yes, so Prop 22 is the industry's last-ditch attempt to rewrite the law. I want to be clear that it does not overturn AB 5. It only extracts app-based drivers and delivery workers from any kind of labor law in California. And it is Lyft, Uber, and DoorDash and the other companies writing labor law for their own employees. So what we're looking at, whatever they say, we have to know that this is not in the interest of drivers or passengers. This law, okay, let's start with 80% of the drivers want to be independent contractors. Most of the time that is asked, it's asked in the context of, do you like independence? Every driver that I know loves independence. We love driving in our cars and, you know, sort of making our own choices about those things. But really what this is, they have done such a good job of equating independent contracting with flexibility, which is not true. There is nothing in labor law that keeps companies from the kind of flexible schedules that we have in Uber and Lyft. We are absolutely, incentivized to work certain times in certain geographic areas. It's how their algorithm works. They set up incentives for us to work these times. They started out trying to sort of schedule shifts and ask people when they were going to work. This is 5-6 years ago, and it didn't work out for them. They're not in the business of scheduling people. So I want to make it clear that 100% of drivers will defend flexibility. But flexibility does not need to go away, either as an independent contractor or as an employee.
So these companies are trying to say that if AB 5 were to be implemented and they, you know, they were to be forced to comply with it, that they would be somehow forced to set schedules for drivers that those drivers would have to comply with, you know, 9-to-5 style job. But of course, that is Uber and Lyft's choice to do. So they could keep everything the way it was, except actually pay wages in line with AB5, pay benefits in line with AB5. That's the only change, which of course eats into their profits.
Yes. And I know, you know, I know dozens of W-2 employees who might work 2 or 3 hours for their W-2 job, and it's still a W-2 job, right? So absolutely the way you describe it. So yes, drivers want flexibility and we're willing to fight for it, but we're not willing to accept less than minimum wage after expenses. We're not willing to accept that we have no safety net. So many drivers I know who end up having an accident while they're driving or something like that and end up with medical expenses, they have no safety net. Whereas every other employee in the state will have workers' compensation to help them get through whatever, rehabilitation that they need to get through an illness brought on or an injury due to work. you know, drivers don't have access to that. I think safety is a huge issue. It's a safety is an issue that is important to drivers. I mean, we've been assaulted and abused on the job, but so has riders. So safety is something that also this proposition is exempting the companies more from having wow. any responsibility in it. This is really their sort of catch 22. If anything, you know, around labor law actually is enforced upon us, they wrote Prop 22 to try to catch all the things that they'd like to change about labor law and having responsibility to the safety and conditions that happen inside that Lyft or Uber drive. You know, and they've put together mountains of money. $110 million was their initial fund that they put together just for this one proposition on the November ballot.
Now, so, the Uber and Lyft are claiming that complying with AB 5 would require them to employ only full-time workers. This, I believe, goes hand in hand with this claim or this assertion that flexibility would be lost if they were to comply with AB 5. And in fact, Uber CEO Dara Khosrowshahi wrote an op-ed in the New York Times literally saying that. He says that that Uber would only have full-time jobs for a small fraction of our current drivers and would only be able to operate in many fewer cities than today. Rides would be more expensive, which in turn would significantly reduce the number of rides people could take, and on and on. He says that that gig workers deserve better was the title of his August 10th op-ed, you know, making it seem as though he really cares about workers. But it seems as though the only thing that Uber and Lyft would actually lose would be the size, again, of their profits, and they could keep everything else relatively the same.
I mean, it just, Dara is counting on the fact that people don't understand the business model. I mean, yeah, the majority of drivers are part-time, but the majority of miles are driven by full-time, but they absolutely need flex drivers coming into the high demand times. And that's how they incentivize people like me, who is a part-time driver, to drive on Friday nights, Saturday nights, you know, and some of the high volume times. They need part-time, they need full-time. But honestly, Dara and the administration of Lyft and Uber have no interest in job security. I mean, they have 80 to 90% turnover annually. There are some of us who stay and are long-term workers, but it's not the majority. And they, you know, there is no way that they could change their business to be only part-time workers. I mean, my favorite thing about Dara, you know, the favorite thing I've seen is that, you know, Dara says I'm the CEO and drivers deserve better. And, you know, our comment is I am the hen house CEO, Wolf. And, you know, wolves deserve better. I mean, this is who he is, you know. They're not a friend to labor. They're, you know, any passenger that has had to deal with the company when they've been injured by a driver or in an accident knows that they really don't care. This is really about their bottom line. When I started working for Lyft, I was guaranteed 80% of the fare. Within months after I began driving, that promise was out the window. And I've seen Uber or Lyft take as much as 80% of some of my fares. And this is really, drivers right now are the bank account for these companies. And when they need more money to you know, have a better valuated IPO or they want to invest in a new market, who do they squeeze? They squeeze the drivers. And there's we thought there would be a bottom to it when Uber drivers took a 25% pay cut last March and went from 80 cents per mile to 60 cents per mile. we thought this is impossible. How can people who are working, you know, 40 or 50 hours a week now try to pivot to make it up with 60 or 70 hours a week? We don't know how to do this. This must be the bottom. But we've heard from driver colleagues in places like, you know, Nevada and other smaller markets that they're paying 40 cents a mile there. IRS reimbursement for mileage driven on the job is 58 cents. Lyft and Uber are asking taxpayers to subsidize their business model.
Right.
You know, right now, they haven't paid into unemployment. They are required by law to pay into unemployment. And this is one of the reasons the state of California is struggling to pay all the unemployment, because these big companies that are billion-dollar companies are paying 0% of their obligation to unemployment.
So, Nicole, the threat to leave California, you said we'll see if it's a bluff or not. I mean, California includes, of course, Los Angeles and San Francisco, two of the top markets in the nation for these companies. I'm wondering, you know, if they did indeed leave California, it could be a massive drop in their market share, right? I mean, they could threaten to leave California, but leaving California would mean losing massive potential revenues. Even though, of course, we know that rides are down during the pandemic, it seems as though the power is in the hands of California and its drive and the drivers right now, rather than these companies. I suppose they might either stand a chance with the November 3rd ballot measure or with a sympathetic judge.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, I think whether it's a bluff or it's real, they're counting on this bluff to scare voters to vote yes for their ballot initiative, number 22. We just think that, you know, when you really look at their business model, I mean, right now, ride demand is down 80%.
Wow.
Right now, Uber Eats is making a lot more money than Uber, right? Driving. But yes, these, you know, Uber's of their five top markets, two of those cities are in California, LA and San Francisco. For Lyft, this is absolutely their biggest state market. So have them leave for a couple months. There are dozens of companies that would be ready to come in and grab this market and become, you know, the green, the worker positive groups that are following labor laws, that are helping with environmental standards. There's absolutely, it would be absolutely crazy for them to abandon this market. And that's why I feel very strongly that it's a bluff. And if they go through with it, it's only because they found that polling with Uber and Lyft closed means that more people will vote for Prop 22. And this is the level of capital that we're dealing with. You know, they have so much money and so much power, but Californians have to stick together.
Their tactic could be to pull out of California until November 3rd. Push their Yes on Prop 22 campaign as hard as possible. And then once they beat back AB5, come back in. And they think they can do that perhaps because they actually have so much money to ride out this storm, money that they could use to simply comply with AB5.
And I want to say, this is no small joke for drivers who, you know, I count on part of my income from Lyft is very important to me, but there are many drivers that count on all of their rent, their food, their life expenses. To hear that Lyft and Uber may pull out is frightening. But I want to say, especially to any drivers listening to this, is when we started this fight, we knew what was going on was unfair. We knew that it was wrong. And seeing our pay slip and slip and slip into the dungeon of meaninglessness, we decided to fight back. And so we're fighting back now. And we're, you know, we've actually gotten to a place where we have the whole state behind us, backing us up, from the Attorney General to the Labor Commissioner to our legislators. Now is the time for us. We have to stand up against this. We know that we're almost winning, and we're in a better position now. Because honestly, the rides have dried up. There's only 20% of the rides left right now anyway. Plus, because of the pandemic, many of us have had to pivot to other sources of income, whether they're delivery work or whatever, because it's safer to be in the car with a lasagna than with another person. So, so that, and then we have unemployment insurance and PUA that we can fall back on if we need to. So we're in a strong position. I really believe that Lyft and Uber do not want to lose the market. And if we stand strong, we can win this. We're getting closer. And the whole world is watching. Many, many, many of the big market areas just in this country are pushing back on this issue because it's not right.
Right. Well, Nicole, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out a website for Rideshare Drivers United.
Absolutely. drivers-united.org. And we welcome you to join us.
That's drivers-united.org. We'll link to that from our website. Thanks so much, Nicole.
Thank you. Great talking with you. Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Nicole Moore, part-time Lyft driver and member of the Leadership Organizing Committee of Rideshare Drivers United. We've been discussing how companies like Lyft and Uber are trying to exempt themselves from AB5, a California law that requires drivers be treated as employees. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.